ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 71। The Lord travels to Indraprastha, text number 21. Anartha Soviramaruns Titva Vinashanam Hari Girin Nadir Atiyaya पुरग्रामा व्रजाकरान् आनर्तसो विरमरुं तीर्त्वा विनाशनं हरि गिरिं नदीर् अतियाय पुरग्रामा व्रजाकरान् आनर्तसो विरामरुं तीर्त्वा विनाशनं हरि गिरिन्नदीर् अतियाय पुरग्रामा व्रजाकरान्। Matajis. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Shilesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As he travelled through the provinces of Anartha, Sovira, Marudesha and Vinashana. Lord Hari crossed rivers and passed mountains, cities, villages, cow pastures and quarries. Since there is no purport, we read the following verses. Text 22. Tato drishadvatim tirtva mukundota sarasvatim panchalam atamatsyamscha shakraprashtham atagamat. After crossing the rivers Drishadvati and Saraswati, he passed through Panchal and Matsya and finally came to Indraprastha. Text 23. Tamupagatam akarnya prito durdashanam ranam ajatashatrur niragat sopadhyaya suhurtvrita. King Yudhishthir was delighted to hear that the Lord, whom human beings rarely see, had now arrived. Accompanied by his priests and dear associates, the king came out to meet Lord Krishna. Text 24. Gita vaditra goshena brahma goshena bhuyasa apyayat sarishikesham prana pranam ivadrita. As songs and musical instruments resounded along with the loud vibration of Vedic hymns, the king went forth with great reverence to meet Lord Rishikesh, just as the senses go forth to meet the consciousness of life. Purport. Lord Krishna is here described as Rishikesh, the Lord of the senses. And King Yudhishthir rushing to the Lord is compared to the senses eagerly joining the consciousness of life. Without consciousness, the senses are useless. Indeed, the senses function through consciousness. Similarly, when the individual souls are bereft of Krishna consciousness, love of God, they enter into a useless and illusory struggle called material existence. Pure devotees like King Yudhishthir are never bereft of the Lord's association, for they keep Him always within their heart, and yet they feel special ecstasy when they see the Lord after long separation, as described here. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinam. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Deshatari Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare. Hare Krishna. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Kalia Krishnadas, who is an associate of Lord Nityananda. This is different from Kala Krishnadas, who accompanied Lord Chaitanya to South India. Kalia Krishnadas is also Labanga Gopa in Krishna Balaram's pastimes in Vrindavan. He appeared as Kalia Krishnadas in the very small village called Akai Hatta, which is very walking distance from the Katwa railway station. It is in the Bardhaman district in West Bengal. And Chaitanya Bhagavat says that whoever remembers Kalia Krishnadas attains the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He left this world on the same day, today, while doing bhajan in Vrindavan. So We remember this great Vaishnava, Kalya Krishna Das ki Jai. And today we are reading a very nice purport from a very beautiful chapter where Lord Krishna is visiting Hastinapur to meet the Pandavas. And the Pandavas are receiving Krishna with great love, with great jubilation. And they are feeling great ecstasy. Interesting, Krishna is not attracted by externals. Same Krishna again came to Hastinapur later on as Shantidut. And that time Duryodhan also had arranged a great festivity, had arranged a great reception, but Krishna was not attracted. But here, seeing the sincerity of purpose, seeing the Pandava's spontaneous love, Krishna is very pleased. Krishna is very attracted to the Pandavas. And in the purport, there is a very beautiful explanation in the purport, how Yudhishthir and devotees like Yudhishthir Maharaj, they are always remembering the Lord in their heart. But on special occasions like this, like when they are actually seeing Krishna personally present, then they go through a very high degree of special ecstasy, and actually that starts manifesting in the body. So like this. So this is also the hallmark of a pure devotee. He is always remembering the Lord, he is always in ecstasy. But on special occasions, the emotions are overwhelming. Like Srila Prabhupada, he always remembered Krishna. And he was always remembering the mercy of Gaur Nithai. But when he went to certain places, like when he was in Atlanta, I believe, where when he saw, it's an arrival address he is giving. He came to the temple and he saw the deities in the altar and he choked up while speaking. He said, Parama Karuna Pahudvi Jana Nithai Gaur Chandra. Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya are very merciful that they have come here. And then his voice stopped and he started crying. So it's not that that is the time he was feeling intense remembrance of Krishna. He was always remembering Krishna, like Yudhishthir Maharaj is remembering. But on special occasions, his heart would be overflowing. Satsurup Maharaj writes a nice purport to this pastime in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrut. He says, Akrura, it is this, if Srila Prabhupada's ecstasies were like Akrura. Akrura was always remembering Krishna and he was very happy and he was in ecstasy. But when he actually entered Vrindavan and he saw Krishna's footprints, he just rolled on the ground, he got ecstatic symptoms. So he said, similarly, Srila Prabhupada was always remembering Krishna. But when he saw Krishna's manifestation in the form of deities and the way Krishna consciousness was spreading, he would be overwhelmed. So this is the main point in the purport today. Of course, our situation is also like this only, but a little different. That we are, like pure devotees are always steadily remembering Krishna. We are steadily forgetting Krishna. Ours is a steady forgetfulness. And just like occasionally pure devotees are overwhelmed with ecstatic remembrance, in our steady forgetfulness of Krishna, many times we are overwhelmed with that forgetfulness. In the sense, a big covering of Maya, and then we get kicked. Prakshepatmika and Avaranatmika Shakti. We are covered and then we are kicked and we are completely bewildered, lost. And then later on we come back to senses. What happened? You know, where was I? You know, so our intelligence is completely clouded. So this is the opposite. Pure devotees go through the opposite experience. Also this chapter speaks about how the Pandavas were so joyful in receiving Krishna. Welcoming Krishna. And while reading this chapter, we can ask a question to ourselves. Do we also feel joy when we receive Krishna in our hearts, when he comes mercifully on our tongues? When we are chanting Hare Krishna, are we also enthusiastic to welcome Krishna? Do we also meditate on Krishna? So we can contrast the reception that Pandavas are giving Krishna, which is there in this chapter, with our own reception of Krishna, which is a far cry from what the Pandavas and pure devotees have to offer. Although our situation is very sad, but it is not a point to be depressed about. No need to be dejected in bhakti that, oh, I have no love for Krishna. When Krishna enters my heart, like Krishna entered Hastinapur, Pandavas are jubilant. But when Krishna enters my life, when I have to chant my 16 rounds, I am not at all enthusiastic. In fact, I am enthusiastic when my japa gets over. Many times this happens that we feel relieved after finishing chanting, rather than feeling happy. So this may be an unfortunate situation, but that doesn't mean we get depressed, because our mind and senses being agitated and being wandering everywhere is natural in the bodily condition. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu says that this is the pathological condition of the living entity. This is the way this body mind is made, that will always be distracted. That is not the problem. What the challenge is, we have to be attentive to Krishna, whatever way we can. And to the extent we are attentive through the practice of sadhana and seva, like for example, we are rendering services, so many services we have, we are associating with devotees, we are honoring prasadam, we are doing deity worship, we are chanting Hare Krishna. If you can simply be attentive, or as today, nowadays there is a very popular term, mindful. Everybody is talking about it, all yoga groups, societies, spiritualists talk about being mindful. So if you are mindful in our spiritual practices, if you are attentive, if you are conscious, then we are associating with Krishna. Just like the Pandavas are associating while receiving Krishna. And this is the main theme in sadhana bhakti. If you see, our process is called Sankirtan process. Now, Jiva Goswami says Sankirtan means coming together and doing Kirtan. Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur has given an interesting understanding of Sankirtan. He says Sankirtan also means attentive, mindful chanting, Kirtan, which is, there is an endeavor to make it, endeavor to make our offering of Kirtan excellent. He breaks the word Sang and Kirtan. Kirtan is glorification of Krishna. San means excellent, or like, you know, Sanskrit. Krit means literature. Sanskrit is that literature which is very refined, very good. Similarly, Sankirtan is that Kirtan which is very pleasing to Krishna, which is offered to Krishna with love. So ours is the Sankirtan movement. So we are supposed to make our chanting very good. We may not be able to chant well, because see, we have to be very clear. Pure chanting is not our domain. It's Krishna's gift. We all know that. Only when Krishna awards us, we can chant purely. Having said that, we also need to remember that Namabhas chanting, the attempt to be free of offenses, is our endeavor. And that is our offering. That is Sankirtan, actually. And many times we say, you know, Srila Prabhupada said, just chant, don't, there are no hard and fast rules. Just chant, don't worry too much about chanting. No, but Srila Prabhupada also said, we have to work hard in our spiritual life. There is a pamphlet which devotees would distribute in New York during the initial days when they would do Kirtan in Tompkins Square Park. Srila Prabhupada initiated a Sunday program. Now, devotees never knew that they could do Kirtan. They used to think Kirtan happens only in that matchless gift shop. One day Srila Prabhupada said, we will do Kirtan, let us go to the park. Devotees are shocked. You don't do these kind of things in America. Prabhupada said, no, you will love it once you do it. And they all went. Prabhupada was leading the group. Prabhupada was in front of everybody, and everybody was shocked. What's going to happen now? And then we all know that historical Kirtan. And then the Kirtan, and then every Sunday they would go. And this is the initial day, 1966, and they would distribute a pamphlet when they would go out. And this pamphlet, Srila Prabhupada had personally written a small essay on chanting. And there he writes, chanting Hare Krishna is so simple, anybody can chant, even a dog can take part, even a child can take part. And in that same essay, he also writes, although chanting is so easy and anyone can join in, but as one makes progress, one has to carefully avoid offenses on the grounds of spiritual understanding. Very nice statement. One has to carefully avoid offenses on the grounds of spiritual understanding. That means we have to endeavor to be freeing ourselves from offenses. There was at one time in Hawaii a splinter group that came up that claimed to be the real ISKCON. And they were also disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So they said, Prabhupada said no hard and fast rules. And what is this, you know, chanting so much, 16 rounds, talking about chanting. Just chant. Just be happy. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So both groups are preaching vigorously and they were making devotees. And Srila Prabhupada was scheduled to come to Hawaii. So then they thought the debate would be resolved, the confusion would be resolved. So both groups wanted attention of Srila Prabhupada. Who is right? Because the group that was actually ISKCON, they said we should chant 16 rounds, take initiation, things like that. And this group was saying, no, just chant any number of rounds, that's all not so important, like that. So there was a kind of conflict. So when they met Srila Prabhupada, and then the inevitable happened, the question came up, and Srila Prabhupada said, yes, Hare Krishna, anybody can chant, it's nice. Prabhupada encouraged everyone. And then in the end he said, but we have to try and overcome offenses. We have to overcome. We have to try. And then Srila Prabhupada said, if we don't endeavor on overcoming our offenses while chanting the holy name, then it is like cooking with smoke. You can cook with smoke for 300 years, nothing will happen. So Srila Prabhupada said that. You can cook with smoke for 300 years, nothing will happen. Srila Prabhupada said, similarly, we may keep chanting, but if we are not endeavoring to free our heart from offenses, then that chanting will give a little benefit. Bahu janma kare yadi shravana kirtan tabutona paya pada Krishna premadhan. That even if we chant for millions of lifetimes, we may not attain Krishna if we are not endeavoring to free our heart from offenses. And so this is our journey actually. If you see from anartha nivritti to nishtha, many of us claim or think or imagine that we are in anartha nivritti stage because, you know, we come to Krishna consciousness, ado shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, and then there is this long gestation period called anartha nivritti, or what Satsarup Maharaj calls vast intermediate zone. It's like a huge tunnel. We are lost in that tunnel and we are wondering, you know, when we'll reach the next stage, nishtha, then ruchi, then asakti, bhava, prem, all that appears to be a long distance away because we are stuck in the tunnel where we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and we are wondering if anartha nivritti is going to last forever. And then we hear, are, don't worry about it too much, just be engaged in seva. And then sometimes we hear, no, we have to get bhava, love for Krishna. How do we resolve all this? We resolve all this simply by being attentive to our spiritual practices. And then Krishna will take care of everything else. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that from anartha nivritti to nishtha, that journey will happen only if we overcome five very basic obstacles that we all face. You know, if we can ask ourselves, am I working on these five? If you are working on these five, then journey to nishtha is very soon. First is, he says, laya. Laya means sleeping during chanting. Now, don't get me wrong, sleeping is good. You know, we need to sleep for healthy, good health. Nowadays, people are saying 7 to 8 hours is a must for good health. So we need to sleep 8 hours, but not while chanting. Laya. Laya is sleeping during chanting. That is a sign that we are not serious about our relationship with Krishna. That is laya. Then after that is vikshepa, distraction. So sometimes we may not be sleeping during chanting, but we may be distracted. We may be counting all the chandeliers, the speakers, the fans. Like one day during maha cleaning we used to have earlier. So I asked one devotee, so we have to clean how many mopping cloth we need for... So he said, we need so much. And then immediately said, there are so many chandeliers, so many speakers, so many balconies. I said, how do you know this? If I during japa, I have counted everything. So that is a classic case of vikshepa, distraction, you know. So laya, vikshepa, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says apratipatti, which is like, you know, sometimes we may not be distracted also, in the sense we may be chanting, we may not be sleeping also, but there is an internal distraction, which is indifference. This is similar to what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you know, audasinya, jadya, vikshepa, like that. And then the fourth, he says, obstacle is kashaya. Kashaya is tendency to be proud because of our spiritual practices. Like many times, you know, we read a little bit about holy name, we know a few, what few acharyas have said about chanting, and we, maybe our chanting is a little good for 2-3 days. And then immediately we think, I'm an expert on holy name, I can give holy name seminars, I can help others. Helping is not bad, compassion is good, but the attitude that I can really, you know, I can make a difference to somebody's chanting. So that also enters, and that is there, deep-rooted pride. So pride because of chanting. I remember once one senior brahmachari was telling me that, you know, he was telling me with realization how his spiritual master helped him. He said when he was chanting japa, he was a temple commander and he was chanting and he saw some brahmacharis were sleeping in japa, struggling, not exactly sleeping, they were struggling, not understanding that struggle is good. He thought that they are kind of, you know, they need help. So he went to his spiritual master and told him that, Maharaj, I would like to help this brahmacharis, you know, their chanting is very bad, they are sleeping in japa, I would like to see that their chanting improves. So his spiritual master caught that mood of pride that he had, that he is good in chanting, he can help others. So Maharaj immediately said, you mind your own business. Their chanting is between them and their spiritual master and Krishna. So then, and later on when he read about Kashaya, he said, oh, my spiritual master recognized that pride I had. So many times this happens, that, you know, either our chanting is very bad or we think my chanting is very good. But then the last obstacle is rasaswad, which is a tendency, this is similar to vikshepas, a tendency to interrupt our chanting when something else which is materially attractive comes up. Like we may be chanting, like, you know, for example, assuming, which is not the best place to chant, temple hall is the best place to chant, but let us say we are chanting in Agastali, you know, and suddenly somebody comes with a cake. And seeing that cake, what happens? We feel chanting and always wait, but the cake cannot. So that is a example of rasaswad. You know, we are that conflict of rasa, taste. So we want that cake. So this happens also many times. So this is also, like, you know, many times devotees say, I'm very tired, that's why I feel sleepy in japa. You know, I had late night programs. That time we can ask a question, I had late night, I slept only 3 hours, but while chanting, I'm feeling sleepy. But if that time somebody comes with an ice cream, cake, do we ever feel sleepy when we are eating something which we really like? We don't feel sleepy. You know, it's our way, our mind tricks us. So let us admit, we don't have taste. And, you know, but basically the key is this. These are the obstacles. And if we are attentive, and if we work on Namabhas chanting, then we can reach the stage of developing strong faith in Krishna. And again, I want to repeat this point that, you know, having these attachments, having material desires, it's not a subject matter for depression. You know, it's not that, oh, I have so much lust. No, no, that's okay. Because as I said, that is the way body, mind, this is our body. But the problem is when we are not doing anything about it, that is the problem. If you read in the morning after Tulsi Aarti, we chant the 10 offenses to holy name. What is the 10th one we chant? 9th. To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. And 10, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachments in spite of knowing so many instructions on this matter. If you see, there it is said, to maintain material attachments is an offense. To have material attachments is not an offense. No, we have them, so what? But when we make an endeavor to free our heart from the offenses, that is Namabhas. Namabhas is not something very esoteric or mystical. You know, it's not some halo that comes around our head. No, it's something attainable. And Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, in one very beautiful seminar on Holy Name, he was explaining how Namabhas chanting is just the attempt to be attentive to Krishna. So hope-giving. And then he said, some of you may be wondering, how can I know my chanting is Namabhas? He said, you can know your chanting is Namabhas if you feel ISKCON is a great place to be in. If you feel my life is good, devotees are happy, nice, everything is good. You know, basically, if you are happy, that means you are Namabhas chanting. So, like that. So, the main focus in our sadhana bhakti, Srila Prabhupada said, when he was asked about techniques or how we can be chanting well, he said, listen to the holy name. So, it's not a rocket science technology, simple. Just being attentive. Because actually when we are listening to the holy name, we are actually listening to Krishna. Because Krishna is non-different from the holy name. So we many times, you know, one of the challenges devotees face is, oh, does Krishna know what is my struggle? Oh, I can't see Krishna. Can I hear Krishna's, or Does Krishna hear my prayers? Yes. If we are hearing Krishna's holy name as we are chanting, then everything falls in place. Because right now, unfortunately, we are not hearing Krishna. We are not directed by the super soul. We are directed by the false ego. We are hearing the false ego. False ego, that's an amazing collaboration or nexus between false ego, mind, intelligence and senses. If you see in our system, how we are made, false ego, root, you know, it's a root problem. The conception we have, I'm an enjoyer, I'm great. And based on this false ego, we live, we act, we do things. Like for example, if you go to a forest, and somebody's main false ego, the conception is, I want money, 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 money. So when he goes to the forest, immediately looks at the trees and says, if I cut all this wood, I'll get so much money. If somebody's conception is, I'm an enjoyer, lust. So when he goes to the forest, immediately thinks, oh, I could enjoy with my girlfriend here in the bushes. If somebody is always seeking peace, when he goes to the same forest, he thinks, oh, I could do meditation here. Or somebody is a devotee who loves to serve, he'll go to the forest, he'll say, oh, we could have an eco-village here. Depends on your conception. You know, service to Krishna or enjoyment. All is driven, the false ego. And then, there is a big, and then false ego, then there is senses. Senses see the sense objects, immediately they send signal, and the mind is the leader of the senses. Mind says, mind's job, actually the mind is supposed to be stronger than the senses. Mind is supposed to control the senses. But the senses, our situation is so bad, the senses have taken over. The senses demand, I want this. And the mind immediately, mind has only one function. What? Accept or reject? Accept, reject. For the mind accepts, mind says, I want it. Mind is supposed to reject. And then intelligence is supposed to be stronger than the mind. But when the mind accepts, mind says, I want sense gratification. What does the intelligence do? Intelligence starts planning, giving ideas, making whole system on how to get that desire fulfilled. See, the intelligence is caught between the false ego, the mind. It's a big Mahagatbandhan, you know, it's a big collaboration. So when all the demoniac forces come together and have Mahagatbandhan, what will happen? They'll create havoc in the society. Similarly, in the system, when false ego, intelligence, mind, senses, they're all coming together. So they create havoc. So in that chariot of the body, the soul is gone, is fully asleep because the false ego has taken over. So where can we hear the voice of the super soul? We can't hear through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. We hear super soul's voice. And that is, you know, to be attentive in our spiritual practices. Actually our problem, Kadam Kanan Maharaj was here recently. He was saying our problem is not inattentive chanting. He was saying our problem is inattentive living. You know, when we are taking prasad, we are not attentive. When we are talking to devotees, we are not present. When we are taking darshan, we are thinking of breakfast. You are saying that how we are just not there. But therefore, this is the essence of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Vidhi rules and regulations we follow. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And to remember Krishna is our challenge. And remembering Krishna also, you know, it has to be with feeling because you can be, there are jnanis also who think about Krishna. You can be a jnani, but our process is to offer our hearts to Krishna. And especially the challenge happens after a few years. Initial years, the newness of bhakti is so refreshing. The first yatra, you know, all the dhams are new. The prasadam, the devotees, the temple, the kirtan, guru puja. But after some years, the newness element goes away. Then, you know, the yatra is to the same places. Now, every year, new dhams are not going to erupt. It's going to be same. So, everything remains same. The prasadam menu remains same. Guru puja, melodies, harik, everything what we were attracted to, which was new, we discover is all, at one point of time, it becomes same. Just like a relationship. In a relationship, you know, after some time, the honeymoon is over. There is a statistic that a romance in any relationship, on an average, it lasts 17 months. So after 17 months, that husband, wife, however much they are in love, that romance element goes away. Then either the relationship is a drag, or the couple work on taking the relationship to the next level, which is a level of service centered on forgiveness, tolerance, respect.
principles. Similarly, our bhakti relationship with Krishna is also like that. So we have a honeymoon phase. The challenge is what? After the honeymoon. So is our relationship with Krishna based on tolerance, service, respect, forgiveness? Because initially what happens, I think I can speak this for many of us. Initially we were attracted to bhakti because of the relief experience we get. You know, because outside it's a scorching desert. So as soon as we come into Hare Krishna temple, we feel relief. You felt that? Like, we feel like an oasis in a desert. Ah, bhakti is so nice. So relieving. It's like, you know, you are 45 degrees Celsius outside and you enter an AC room. And air condition. Wow. So nice. But after some time, that air condition becomes irrelevant. In fact, inside that air condition room, there are other devotees. And then the differences with them create some heat. And that becomes so hot, and then some devotees feel, I think the heat outside is better than the heat inside the AC room. And then we may actually go outside the association of devotees. So that AC is irrelevant after some time. The relief experience doesn't sustain. But initially what happens, that refreshing experience of bhakti, that's like an effulgence that blinds us to the challenges in the relationship. So therefore, then devotees become judgmental, we have our own mental world, and we just make a mess of everything. Therefore, this is the time when we re-examine our relationship with Krishna, and that is by the simple practices of being attentive, being conscientious. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that Krishna in the heart is not lazy. Such a nice statement, you know. Krishna is there, he's active, he wants us to connect to him, he wants us to develop a tangible, meaningful relationship with him. Therefore, if we keep the fire of our aspiration burning with the right kind of strong association, and also if we are attentive in our practices, then it's possible. Krishna has assured 1.2.17 and 18 Bhagavatam, Srinvatam Sakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantastoi Abhadrani Vidunoti Sursatam. Krishna, the benefactor of all living entities, is in the heart. He will clean the heart, you know. Krishna is always there. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata seva. Nityam bhagavata seva. These are two things, you know, Prabhupada always spoke about. Kirtaniya sadahari and nityam bhagavata seva. Always serve bhagavatam, person bhagavat, and always chant Hare Krishna. So this two goes on. Then our chanting coupled with service to bhagavat gives us realizations. So like this, basically the essence of today's discussion is bhakti is a Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is a long term process. It's not that, you know, just 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 year, or hey, I'm not getting ecstasy, oh I'm not getting ecstasy, when will ecstasy come? No, relax. It's a long term process. Sadhana Bhakti means we need patience, we need enthusiasm, and it takes time. Patanjali Muni, he gives a definition. He says Sadhana Bhakti by definition should have three criteria. Then only it is something is called sadhana practice if it has three criteria. One is, it is a long-term project. First criteria is, it is a long-term. It's not that in one day everything, 1 week, I'll become pure devotee. First is, it is long-term. Secondly, it is uninterrupted. It's not that now I'll take 2 year break from bhakti. No, there is no break. Long-term, uninterrupted. And third, most important, this conscious investment of our energy, of our emotions. Then it is sadhana bhakti. And then we get benefits. Like in the Christian tradition, there is a very famous saint, Teresa of Avila. Now she writes in her autobiography that first 30 years that she spent in the monastery was a life of struggle. You know, she faced so many distractions, so many temptations. She would slip down to frivolous behavior. She went through so much struggle. And after 30 years, you know, Krishna gave her taste. So if such a great mystical saint can go through long periods of dryness, struggle, and not give up, and keep on going on with patience, enthusiasm, and faith, how much more it is applicable to devotees who have to go on happily, just being attentive in our spiritual practices, with faith. Even in material world, it's not overnight that people become successful. There was a story of an Australian man, it came some time ago. He joined McDonald's at the age of 16. And at the age of 48, he went on to become the CEO. So all magazines were carrying his story, websites are glorifying him. Oh, how much he worked hard. 32 years it took him. So this perseverance, hard work, this is all glorified. Same thing applies in Hare Krishna also. You know, spend decades chanting, serving, being in the association of devotees. Because this is a great austerity actually. And when we are doing sadhana bhakti, in the association, we are able to recognize the tricks that the mind plays to the extent we are attentive. See, the main thing in sadhana bhakti is to deal with the mind. We had gone to Vishwapriya Tirtha Swamiji from Adhmarmat in Udupi. We spent some time and some of the brahmacharis were there. They asked him, what is the main challenge for a brahmachari or a sadhaka? So Vishwapriya Maharaj immediately said, mind, it's all mind game. And sadhana bhakti means dealing with the mind. And then a very interesting point, he said, we are not able to deal with the mind because we are identifying with the mind so much. We think, we are so much thinking I am the mind. You know, we are the mind. But when we are attentive, immediately we are able to observe the mind. So success in our sadhana bhakti is when we are able to chant, we are able to remember Krishna, we are attentive, and then we are able to see how the mind is playing tricks. And if we don't observe the mind, we will definitely identify with it and we will get carried away. And that's how we get deviated. Therefore, the conclusion of today's discussion is that we may not be spontaneous like the Pandavas who are happily welcoming Krishna, but we can be attentive and we can please Krishna through our sincere endeavors. Otherwise, if this tiny inattention, it can become a big cloud. There is a very nice seminar by Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj on clouds of inattention. He says how inattention can be at different levels. He says for most of us, we don't need to get depressed. For many devotees, inattention is not such a serious problem. Inattention is like a cloud. And Krishna is like the sun. Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hoya Andhakar, Jahan Krishna Taha Nahi, Maya Radhikar. So now planet Earth, main energy force for planet Earth is sun. Similarly, Bhakti's main source of energy is holy name. Holy name is everything, it's the sun. But cloud can never be so powerful that it can cover the sun. Tiny cloud, but it can cover our vision. But when that cloud does that, we can't see Krishna. We can't see the sun. But these clouds immediately dissolve. They go away. As soon as we become attentive in our practices, these clouds go away. So clouds will keep coming. Because that is the nature of this material world. But to the extent we are constantly attentive, we are alert in our practices, and the cloud will be there one day, the next day the cloud will get dissolved. But the problem happens when the clouds get thicker, that we are not able to feel the light of the sun or the heat of the sun. See, there are two things regarding sun. One is the light. This is compared to faith in Krishna. And the second is the heat. You know, when the sun is there, you can feel the heat of the sun. And that heat is compared to the experience of bhakti, experience of Krishna in our lives. So what happens when the sun is shining clear, there are no clouds, we can feel the heat of the sun and we can also see the light. That means we have faith, we can see Krishna. In the sense, we have faith in Krishna. We can see, we have faith in Krishna's existence. And also the heat means we have experience of Krishna. In the sense, we feel loved by Krishna. We feel happy, we feel comforted in bhakti. But when the clouds get thicker, then what happens? Have you experienced? Sometimes when the clouds are thick, what happens? We can see the light. We are able to see each other. But we don't feel the warmth, the heat we don't feel. That's how it happens, right? Similarly, sometimes, because of our inattention, we get so covered that we have faith in Krishna. Ah, Krishna is God. We have faith. Because just like we are able to see the light, we are able to have faith in Krishna. But just like we don't feel the heat during thick clouds, similarly we don't have experience of Krishna. We think, are kya ho raha hai? Bhakti mein kuch maja nahi aa raha hai. There is no taste. He is Krishna. Why is Krishna? Why is my heart so dry? Why don't I feel anything? Why don't I feel emotions for Krishna? This is because of the thick gathering of clouds. But sometimes the clouds become so thick, so dense, that light is also not there and the heat is also not there. Similarly, sometimes our inattention takes such a dangerous form, the clouds of inattention become so thick that our faith also goes away. Oh, we actually become atheists. And then there is no experience also. So therefore the only solution is to drive away these clouds and let the dazzling sunshine of Krishna's holy names engulf our consciousness. And that happens when we are simply attentive to the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Yes, Madhendra Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Just would like you to put more light on this aspect that you mentioned, that how a devotee is somebody suffering outside because of the heat, then he comes over here for relief. Sincere, that person is surely sincere. He's come to get that relief. And then he feels the heat over here. So a question asked to me by one devotee that we are practicing bhakti, we want to focus our mind on the holy name. We are doing sadhana, so many different aspects. But at the same time, after a few years, we also feel the heat or the pressure of the organization. There is an organizational pressure. For example, he was explaining, an organization is made so that the person coming for relief can come to a family and feel that relief and that love and care. But down the line, the same, the place becomes like there is a pressure. So how does he, save himself? Because naturally that person has come, he is sincere. It's not that he is wanting purposely to be inattentive to chanting. It's not that he is wanting to be. But I've seen that he is saying that, because of that pressure, I'm not able to focus on my sadhana. So is it an anartha or?
No, we need to trust ourselves also. Especially as devotees become senior, they spend some time. And the fact is they are sincere. Otherwise they won't have spent 15, 20 years. So sometimes, devotees need to trust themselves also, their own inner calling. And they need to have faith. At the same time, we need to remember the principle that our acharyas have given. What is the six symptoms of surrender? Anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam. This is the first, right? Accept that which is favorable and reject that which is unfavorable. So for some devotees, as they grow older, so this call they have to take. What is favorable for... See, the principle is what is favorable for execution of bhakti. So if that is... if that means, living in a different kind of setup, and if that is helping them be Krishna conscious, then we should not get insecure about their decision. We should empathize with them and give them that space and trust them. This is my understanding. That because he is anukulasa sankalpa pratikula, he is feeling this is favorable for his bhakti. And generally if such devotees take guidance from other Vaishnavas and then do this, then it is all the more better, right? So I think we should give that trust to those devotees that they are approaching other senior Vaishnavas, they are expressing their difficulty. And they are making some adjustments. They are not leaving bhakti. They are making adjustments so that they can serve Krishna nicely. Now this is one aspect. The other thing I would understand is, organization is what helped me become a devotee. Like I would like to remember, I would hope to remember this, that I came to Hare Krishna because of this organizational setup. If this wasn't there, I wouldn't have been a devotee. So now who am I to say organization? You know, I wouldn't want to think that this is choking me or this is a struggle for me. So that will happen if you are constantly grateful and constantly remembering how my spiritual life was saved because of the wonderful devotees of Srila Prabhupada. So knowing Srila Prabhupada's grace upon us, which came through the organizational setup, through so many facilities created in this institution, through so many devotees, and as an expression of gratitude, and we continue to serve lovingly, tolerating each other, forgiving each other, and at the same time, taking honest, trusting ourselves, and being honest, not deviating, not criticizing another Vaishnava. And if we feel, yes, I cannot practice here, a devotee has to be encouraged, not encouraged, but empathized with when he's choosing to make a different arrangement for himself to practice Krishna consciousness. So I think that way we can be safe. Maybe some other devotees can correct me if I have said something wrong. Going through. Gaur Gopal Prabhu. Uttam Shlok Prabhu. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for bringing up this important topic. The question sometimes comes that we cannot be focused on our chanting and, you know, derive the taste from the process of Krishna consciousness because we have material desires. But at the same time, we have to become free from material desires by having ruchi. So it becomes like a vicious circle. We don't have ruchi because we have material desires, and we cannot give up material desires unless we have ruchi. So I would like you to, you know, elaborate on this point, how to get out of this vicious circle, because practically speaking, seems to be that many devotees cannot overcome this.
Material desires?
Yeah, because of not having taste, and they cannot give up material desires unless they have taste.
Mahatma Prabhu's there's one Mahatma Prabhu seminar on taste. He says that devotees need to aspire for taste. You know, it's not a bad word. Many times we think, oh, to aspire for taste is something very, you know, we are asking for something big. He says, if you aspire for it, why do we want taste? If we know the purpose, then I think somewhere that cycle will be broken. Somewhere we'll enter the phase of, and that is aspiration. Aspiring to get taste because we want to please Krishna. Because right now we are not able to please Krishna. So if our aspiration is to serve Krishna better, and because of that we want taste. And yes, material desires won't go. But as I said in the beginning of the class and throughout the class, that, you know, when we are listening, when we are attentive, Burijan Prabhu writes about this in this Japa book. I have also experienced, whenever we are actually listening to the holy name, there is actually, you feel happy. When we are in the present, you know, when we are present, then material desires seem irrelevant at that point of time. Our problem is we are never in the present. We are always in the future or past. So that's why we suffer. So, you know, we are lamenting about our past desires and what we did and future planning. Only time we are in the present is when our mind is racing from past to future. For that microsecond, we are in the present. If you can somehow be in the present, like if I'm chanting, just be there. Then slowly, slowly, that chanting will give some taste, that glimpse, you know. Like Burijan Prabhu says, when he was a young brahmachari, he was chanting and walking in the Tokyo temple. And he says, I was walking, pacing up and down and chanting. I was a young brahmachari, a lot of passion. And when I was chanting, suddenly I heard the holy name. I heard that one Maha Mantra. And when I heard, the experience I had was so overwhelming, and that's when I realized why the acharyas have told us to listen to the holy name. That's when I realized why Srila Prabhupada said listen to the holy name. So in the whole book he focuses on listening to one Maha Mantra. So somewhere we make that connection with Krishna of being attentive, being present, then somewhere that cycle, you know what you are talking about, that which all of us go through, somewhere it will be broken. And then if we continue to listen to the holy name, if we continue to endeavor, which is Namabhav chanting, then slowly, slowly we'll be able to progress despite the existence of anarthas. The whole idea is we have to be attentive to Krishna. Krishna is, when I'm chanting, Krishna is there. Like, you know that, I don't know if you've seen that painting, I find that painting very attractive. There is a painting of Billamangal Thakur, you know, he's sitting, his eyes are closed and he's singing loudly. And there is Krishna, small Krishna in front of him sitting like this. His hand is on his chin. And he's just smiling and looking. And Billamangal Thakur doesn't know that Krishna is sitting in front of him. He is blind. But he is chanting intensely. So sometimes, you know, actually we are also blind. We are spiritually blind. And we don't know. When we are chanting, Krishna is there actually. He is there. He said, yes, you are chanting, I've come. But we are so unmindful. We are so absent. So naturally we are lost. But the moment we are conscious, Krishna is there. And that's when we offer prayers. That's when we are attentive. That's when we listen. So then we connect. And when we connect to Krishna, then things dissolve. Material desires won't go away. It's not that, you know, today I chanted, then tomorrow I am okay. Tomorrow again, just like material desires won't go away till we give up our body. Prak sharira vimokshana. Because just like copper vessel. You know, I have this copper vessel, I drink water. Even if I clean it nicely and keep it, next day morning again it gets dirty. After a few days again I have to clean it with. That's why scriptures say once you chant holy name is enough. But still we chant every day. Why? Because in this material world, the mind, the material energy, you know, it contaminate. It'll attack us. So even though I have chanted nicely today, tomorrow again I have to chant. So instead of getting depressed about the material desires, let us be in the present. Today let us chant, let us listen. Because it's very intense. There is one story about one sadhu who wanted to appoint a successor for his ashram. There are two people who are shortlisted. So he said, before deciding who will be the main acharya, the next acharya, he told both of them to go to one holy place. And there was a big lodge there where yatris would come, stay and go. So he told both of them, you stay there for 1 week and come back and tell me your observation. So both of them went, they stayed there, they saw so many pilgrims come, take food, stay and go. After 1 week, this guru had to decide who will be the successor. He asked both of them, did you see anything unique in this lodge? So first person said, no, everything was okay, people are coming, they were chanting, everything was going on. So then the second person, he asked, and the second person said, I saw something unique, and everybody had seen it. There is a huge mirror in the center of that ashram, huge mirror, and spotlessly clean. So for the second person said that, Guru Maharaj, I saw this mirror, and the first fellow said, I also saw, what is so unique about it? So the second person said, I saw the mirror, but I saw that every day, morning and evening, the owner would come and clean that mirror. Because he was cleaning the mirror, it was shining. All the 7 days we stayed, I saw it shining and it was so clean. And that's when I realized that although everything was going on smooth, everything was clean, but you had to clean the mirror every day. Otherwise the mirror would have got dirty. So I realized, this man said, that although we are practicing spiritual life, we feel clean, we have to clean our consciousness every day. We have to be present every day. We can't be inattentive in our practices. So that's why he was selected. So this story shows how we may be having a lot of material desires, and we may chant attentively and we may feel completely free from those desires. But just wait for the next day. Again, next day, same thing is going to happen. So instead of worrying about, you know, when those desires will go away, let us just focus on the present. Let us be in the present. Let us chant. Let us be happy chanting Hare Krishna. Unfortunately, we think so much about past and future, we miss the nectar that is there in the present. You know, many times we have this addiction of thinking. Oh, worrying addiction. You know, this worry. Like people have drug addiction, alcohol addiction. There is also something called as worrying addiction. Like you've seen those mad people on the streets, they walk, they are unkempt clothes, disheveled hair, and they are lost, and they're shouting and talking, and we avoid them because they are mad. But little do we realize that many times we are like them only. The only difference is they are speaking it loud. Ours is going on inside only. That non-stop talking, non-stop is going on. So therefore, and that's why we lose the nectar that's there in the present, you know. like morning program, Guru Puja, Kirtan. If we are just there, we are with Krishna. And then material desires will be there. Let's not worry about it. Let's go on. Tomorrow again we'll clean. Day after tomorrow again we'll clean. And when the time comes to leave this body, Krishna will take care. Probably ho gaya, 9:20 ho gaya. Sorry. Marathon time. Chalega? Thank you, Prabhu. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.